forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. For me, this particular sermon was not an easy one to prepare. Despite spending quite a bit of time in prayer and meditation on those words from Mark, I realized that there weren't many words that were coming to me. But perhaps that was because they were already there. Maybe I don't need to add anything to those words from Mark in order to make them stand out. Maybe I don't need to elaborate on them because the gospel message is there in those few lines in the Bible. Maybe I don't need to add anything to help us to understand them better because we know what we're already supposed to do as ones who have decided to follow Jesus. But there is something else, because we are called to be servants. We're called to see the image of God in everyone around us. We're called to treat each person with the respect and the dignity that they deserve. We're called to be great by showing everybody that there's another way of being. It's not based on power, greed, or structure, but of course it's a way based on Jesus. And the way of Jesus is love and it's grace. And it's all right there in those 10 verses in the Bible. Because Jesus is telling his disciples what it is that they actually need to do if they're going to be disciples. He's telling them what they need to do to become his followers. Tells them what they need if they're going to understand the kingdom of God. Yet once again, as usual, they just don't seem to get it. When Jesus talks of his death and resurrection, the cup that he has to drink, they simply don't get it. When he teaches the disciples about the ways of the kingdom of God, they just don't understand. And it seems too often when it comes to actually deciding to follow Jesus in the first place, the disciples quite often seem to miss the mark or they go off on a completely different tangent. It would be easy for us to turn James and John, the disciples, into caricatures, to only see them and the rest of the disciples as being a bit foolish, maybe a bit dim. People who can't even see or recognize that the Son of God is standing right there with them. It's easy for us to tell ourselves that if we were there instead of them, we would have got it right. We wouldn't have mistaken Jesus for anyone other than the Son of God, would we? We would have recognized Jesus being there with us every single time. Except I do wonder if that's true. Because if you're anything like me, more often than I would like to admit, I will admit that I have failed quite often to realize the opportunity to engage Christ through people I encounter almost every day. Because more often than not, I like to focus on the details. Quite often, I focus on my own worries, my own fears. Sometimes I can be too focused on the ways of the world that I miss the kingdom of God. I miss the kingdom of God right at work in front of me. So instead of being able to scoff at James and John and all the rest of the disciples for failing to get it, I realize that actually we've got far more in common with them than we actually thought, or even that we'd like to admit. If we're going to be disciples, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, more often than we would like to admit, we might know the right words, but when it actually comes down to putting those words into understanding, quite often we, like those disciples, fall short of the mark or miss the point. But that is until we remember and we experience the story of the resurrection. Because it's in the resurrection of Jesus that everything is bound up. The resurrection for us is the whole point. For us as disciples, for everyone around us, for everything in God's creation, the resurrection is a complete game changer. Everything gets put on its head. We could see Jesus as a great teacher, a really wonderful preacher. We could see him as somebody who challenged the powers and authorities and the structures of that day. And in themselves, all those things are good. But nothing which really sets him apart from the other great teachers or preachers or from the other leaders of the day was there at that time. Until the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Suddenly, from that resurrection of Jesus, the lives of the disciples are completely transformed. It's as though they are a completely different bunch of people. Suddenly, they begin to understand. Suddenly, they're filled with power. Suddenly, all these conversations that they've had with Jesus start to actually make sense. The disciples then start to see the world around them completely differently. The resurrection shows us that death is not the end of the story. The resurrection shows us that the kingdom of God doesn't operate by the rules of the world. The kingdom of God doesn't work on rules that are based on power, structure, and influence. Instead, the resurrection leading to the bringing about of the kingdom of God opens our eyes and our minds and our lives to a new way of understanding and a brand new way of being. For the one we embrace as Lord and Savior, Jesus, didn't come to be served, as the reading says, but instead he came to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. But our calling as disciples of Jesus isn't just about me and Jesus. Instead, our lives in Jesus talk about living in relationship with one another and with the world around us. We're called to live in ways that don't set us apart as people who want to gain something, but instead we are set aside as being people who are here for the building up of God's kingdom on earth. So our faith, our calling, our very discipleship in Jesus is about how we connect with each other and how we relate to one another, remembering that each one of us is that beloved child of God. I could try and bring all that together with some great theological illustration. But once again, like the words, the illustrations, the images, and the pictures simply didn't come forth. Maybe I'm still at that point where I'm furious with James and John for daring to have the audacity of asking Jesus to do whatever it was that they wanted of them. Maybe those images or pictures wouldn't come to me, because actually our faith, our lives, our discipleship is a process that continues to be worked out. Our discipleship is all part of a journey. We might call that journey life. But a lot of people who demonstrate the love of Christ in all that they do and say won't even set foot into a church. Yet there are some people who claim to be servants of Christ, but because of their words and actions, we might wonder if they've even encountered Jesus in the first place. Or are they just embracing the person that they've created in their own image, the Jesus that suits them? So I guess the best I can give to you this morning is to give a question. A question that Jesus shared with his disciples in response to their request for him to do whatever they wanted of him. Jesus simply asked them, what is it that you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? He asks. If we're going to answer, well, Jesus, I'd like to receive power and money and wealth and fame, then we're in the wrong business. We're not in the business of discipleship. But if our answer is to say, Jesus, let me be a servant as you were a servant, then perhaps we're reading a little bit further into the story. I always think the Gospel of Mark is a really wonderful one. And for people starting to read the Bible or wanting to encounter Jesus, Mark is a brilliant book in which to begin. It's the shortest of the Gospels. There's less flowery language in there. It's often quite punchy, and it gets directly to the point. It's a really good way of encountering the life, the death, the resurrection, but above all, the ministry of Jesus, and it's put across in really simple ways. Mark's Gospel is enough, I think, for us each to be able to read it all the way through. And it goes from peak to trough, up and down. We get towards the end, and of course it seems as though everything is going to be lost. But somehow light and love find a way to overcome death and destruction. When we understand the gospel in the light of the resurrection, then we're going to be like those disciples who suddenly had their lives transformed. They saw everything around them with new and freshly opened eyes. They saw what it was when the question was asked of them, what is it you want me to do for you? And if we can understand that, then we can know what we are asking of when we ask Jesus in return to transform us, to make us into the people that God is calling us to be. So let's pause and let's pray. And in the silence, as we each look upon and love Jesus, let's hear Jesus asking the question of each of us, what is it you want me to do for you? Lord, we pray that you will enter our hearts, our minds, our lives with that renewing and transforming grace. You know what it is each of us is asking of you. Discipleship, wholeness, healing, a fresh start. Renew us by your transforming grace. And may we be the people you are shaping us and forming us to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.